Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings, and the first chapter. I'm going to read two verses this morning out of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1. While you're turning there, when I read this, do not take it at face value until you hear the message and it's explained to you what is happening in this passage. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1. I thank the Lord for what He's done down through this week. Yesterday, some of us was together and I was sharing some of the things that happened. And you know, you run across people all the time that say, well, numbers don't matter. And a preacher told us yesterday, Ron and I was together with him, said numbers must matter to God because He had a whole book named that. Amen? And it does matter. I think we need to keep track of what's happening. I don't know the heart of people, and I know one thing, it's easy just to fall into a place where that you want to ignore the facts that maybe things aren't going the way they should be going. I think we need to track what we're doing for God. I think we need to keep record of that. I think we need to move forward. I don't believe we need to go backward. And you cannot stand still. So if you've got the attitude that you'll stand still in your Christian experience, you're in serious trouble. God's plan and program continues to move forward. So if we stand still, we get left behind. And we need to understand that God is on the move. He's on the move today. He's on the move around the world. And He always has been moving forward with a plan. There is an ultimate end to all of this. And every day brings us closer to that end. That's what I'm dealing with this morning. The plan of God. How God brings things to pass. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 1, Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Now, when you read that, we live in such a perverted society today, they can't even understand what's taking place in this passage. David is up in years. He is dying. His heart is failing him. He has some type, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say what it is, but some type of a circulation problem. Undoubtedly, his heart is getting weak. The blood flow is slowing down. And here they are at a place where the king they love, the king they have stood by, the man that has envisioned a house to be built for God, is now dying and that vision is not completed. And the king is dying and they're saying, what are we going to do? In those days, they didn't have doctors that they could call in. They didn't have special medications that the pharmacist could put together. They did know one thing, and they knew the teaching of the law of God and the Word of God. And the principle from Ecclesiastes 4:11 is that when two lie together, they gain heat. It's similar to the same case of someone that's caught in a blizzard, and they have no heat. And when you bring two bodies together, the heat from the two will share with each other to keep them warm. And they said, this is what we'll do. They find a young virgin and bring her in. Do you ever wonder why they brought a young virgin into him? Because they knew he was dying. And they could not bring a man to lie with him because the law said that it was against the law for a man to lie with a man. Thank all four of you for the amen. So they had to get a young virgin. This is nothing fleshly at all that they're doing. They're trying to do something to prolong the king's life. And they said, if the young virgin lie with him, what will happen is that her body heat will give him heat, and maybe he'll live a little longer. So they bring in this young virgin. Her name in this passage, if you'll read, is Abishag. So they bring in Abishag and lie, and Abishag lies with him to try to bring life back to him. But you see, the name Abishag means their fathers or her fathers or elders have erred. They made a grave mistake because God had a plan. And God knew that David had shed blood. And even though David had the vision to build the temple, he was not able because of the blood that he shed to build the house of God. He had a plan, but they were stopping that plan from moving forward by interfering with God's movement because God was saying, David's going to have to go off so that Solomon could come on. And while David has collected the silver and the gold and the materials and has the heavenly vision, he is not the one that I have anointed nor appointed to build the house for myself. That's what God was saying. So they were interrupting the plan of God, interfering with the plan of God. They were trying to take something of their mentality, of their intellect, and trying to give him life to keep him living when God said, it's not time for him to live, it's time for him to die. Now here's where it gets tough. God tells us there's some things in churches that at one time, while it was a plan of God, even in our lives, it was the will of God that it be there, and it worked. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get into the mechanics of doing those things, and it doesn't work anymore, and the fire starts going out in the church. And spiritually, the church starts dying, or as an individual, we start dying. And you know the first thing we want to do? Instead of moving forward with what God has for us, we try to keep alive that which needs to die. Now I know what I'm talking about. They've had the problem through the centuries of time. You remember God gave them the brazen serpent on the pole? And He said, if you look at that, you'll live. They were being bit by fiery serpents. And He said, hold it up. If the people look, they'll live. 900 years later, Hezekiah came along, and do you know what he did? He destroyed it. Why? Because in 900 years, what happened was they didn't understand that life wasn't coming from that brazen serpent. Life was coming from God. It was a picture of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, a type and shadow of the time when Christ on a cross would take the sins of the world upon Himself and the serpent would be destroyed and overcome. It was a symbol of that. And what happened was they started worshiping the blessing. The blessing of God became an idol. Going to get just a little tough right here, but I'll preach it anyway. That's what's happened in 95% of the churches across America. They come through times of great revivals, and God moved and God blessed. And now all across this country this morning, churches are going to get up and do the same old thing and keep trying to throw the things that they know on it to keep it alive when it's time to die. It worked 50 years ago. It doesn't work now because it's become mechanical. What are you talking about? I'm talking about when you go into church and it's the same story every time you go. They go through the same routine and the same pattern. They're going to stand up, sing two congregational songs, have prayer. Then for 25 minutes, the preacher is going to stand and beg for people to testify. That's throwing the carnal on something to keep it alive. Brother, I've got news for you. You can toss all you want on it, but when she's dead, there's nothing you can put on it to keep it from dying. If God doesn't show up, it's all in vain. And we keep going through the same routines over and over and over again. I was in a church recently. And because they do the same thing, I'm not picking on people. I'm just telling you the truth. When they had in special singers, all their singers sung. Because all their singers is always supposed to sing. That night, I quit counting at 19 songs. I was exhausted by the time they called me up to preach. 19 songs! And then they called the special singers. The special singers looked at me and shrugged their shoulders. Why do they do that? Let me tell you why. Because years ago there was a move of God and they had a flurry of some hot services. And when it comes, you know, if God's there and the Lord's doing it and it's spontaneous, it's wonderful. But if it's not of God and it's not spontaneous to the Spirit, it's drudgery. And they're trying to keep that alive. For 30 years, they've been doing the same thing. For 30 years, they've been going through the same routine. For 50 years, they've done the same thing over and over and over again. But I've got news for you. What God did even this weekend, He'll never repeat that again. It'll never be exactly that same way. It'll never happen just like it did this weekend. In fact, the congregation we have here this morning will never be gathered again quite like they are right now in this place. The move of God, the way God is moving this morning, it'll never happen again just like it is right now. That's why God has something special for us day by day, service by service, hour by hour. God says the needs change and God wants to fill the needs. And if we're not careful, we'll reach a place where that we cut God out of filling the needs because of our pattern and our program. Life's like that. Highs and lows. Ups and downs. You do the same old things, you get the same old results. Some of you, are you getting this morning? Maybe you haven't ever been to those type of services, but I tell you, it's tough. It's tough to go through that. A lot of folks leave our church because they can't handle the fact that we're not structured. And I'm not critical of those. Some folks need that, I guess. But God moves in different ways. There are seasons of the Spirit. God moves seasonally upon the needs. Those that are battling certain things right now, they may never battle those things again. And if we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God to meet those needs, and God doesn't feel those needs, then what we do is we get in the way of the plan, the program of God and what God really wants, and we stand in His way. Preachers all over the country, a lot of them, they come to me and they say, I just don't understand you guys at Rubyville. You know, everybody knows what we ought to do. They say, what you ought to do? You ought to just go to two services on Sunday. You know what I ask them? And just when do we have those services? I mean, I know when we start, but I never know when we're ending. Sure would be rough on the second crew coming in, wouldn't it? And I'm not critical of that. Don't misunderstand. That may work other places. But you're not in another church. You're in this church. And God moves in different ways at different times. And if we're not careful, we'll take the ideas of the world and the ideas of business and get to the place where we cut God out of all of it. We need God. God said, what you don't understand, it's time for David to die. That wasn't cruel. That was God's way of moving His plan forward. He knew that it reached a place where maybe David would be worshipped more than God. If you'll notice in Scripture, when Solomon came on, you know, in the temple ministry, Solomon built the temple. In the temple, there was an outer court, there was an inner court, and there was a holiest of holies. Really, leading up to that temple area, there were three leaders that God used to bring that to pass. First was Moses with the law. That initiated the tabernacle worship. And the tabernacle worship led to, eventually, the temple worship. Under the law, everything was based on sacrifice. The outer court ministry is all a type of the era of the law. Every piece of furniture in the outer court dealt with the law in that it dealt with sacrifice only. It was a place where the blood was shed. It was a place where the cleansing took took place. It was a place where man was set aside through holiness to come into the house of God. But with Moses, it was all law. All law. And no worship. Did you get that? There's a lot of churches that it's all law, but no worship. Holiness is a part of the message, but holiness is not all of the message. Are you with me? Then comes David. David brings the house of God, the ark of God, not to the house of God, but to Mount Zion in 1 Chronicles 15. And he puts a tent over it, and God gives him the plan for the temple. And David said, what people need is they need encouragement. So David's ministry became a ministry of the inner court. What's the inner court? It's the place of the shewbread. It's the place of the incense. It was the place of the golden candlestick. Everything on the inner court was a type of praise, prayer, intercession. So David brings these singers together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They sing praises to God. And in that inner court ministry of David, it's all praises, but very little law. There was no sacrifice. There was no altar. You read it. And his ministry was a ministry of continual praise. So God, through one, brought in the sacrifice. Through the other, brought in the praise. But along comes Solomon. And through Solomon, he built the house of God, which had the holiest of holies. Now, in the holiest of holies was a combination of the best of both worlds. It involved not only sacrifice, but it involved praise. And that is a sample of the type ministry that we have in the church world today. Your life, your Christian life, can never be based on just the law. And your Christian life cannot be based on just praise. I know some people that they know the law of God inside out. When it comes to living a clean life and a godly life, there's none better. But they're dead, dead, dead as a stone. I know others that their life is all filled with praise. But they're worldly. You know what I'm talking about? Folks, now listen, get mad at me if you want to. I'll just preach it the way it is. It just makes my skin crawl to see people get up on a platform in the house of God dressed in short shorts and, oh, I praise you. Oh, I love you. That's sickening. They've got the praise down, but they don't have the holiness down. You want to hurt our crowd, isn't it? But along comes Solomon that mixes the two together. And he says, when you live the holy life and you meet the laws of God and then you enter into His courts with praise, something happens. A real move of God comes that's genuine. And the glory of God feels the holiest of holies. Some people say, I just don't understand why I don't ever get blessed. Well, one thing, if you don't live right, you won't get blessed. Not a real blessing. And also, if you're in a place where that you're not concerned about God blessing you, He won't bless you. But if you ever reach the place where you do your best for God and live for God and say, Lord, I want what You want. I'm going to live the best life I can. I'm going to love Your Word. I'm going to live the life. You know what happens when you get in the house of God? God blesses you. He'll bless you driving down the highway. He'll bless you when you study His Word. God wants His people to be blessed people. God wants you to be filled with the power of God and the glory of God. But what happens if you start to die and you get cold and you start to throw carnal things on that to build the fire back? And I'm afraid that's where we're at now. If I hear one more word
about Christian entertainment, I think I'm going to scream. I'm not looking for entertainment at church. I'm looking for a blessing. This is not a place of entertainment. People don't shout to entertain you. People don't praise the Lord to entertain you. We shout and we praise the Lord because God in His mercy reached down in the mires of sin and saved our soul and brought us up, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we know one day we'll see Him face to face. And not a one of us is worthy of that, but it's because of His mighty love and the sacrifice that He has given. And the least that we can do in turn is live our life and that's pleasing to Him. And then when we come to church, have the assurance it's all right to praise the Lord because we've done what You've asked us to do down through this week. God, You're worthy of all of our praise. And God, we want to be a worthy vessel that You'll fill us with Your blessings. When you get so cold, the body gets too cold, circulation gets too low, eventually you'll die. Some of you have been in the place I'm about to talk about, and you'll understand what I'm saying. Others, you've been blessed if you haven't been. It's a terrible thing to sit in a church week after week and month after month and feel a little bit of your heart dying every week. And you're throwing everything on it you can to try to get the fire back inside, but it's dying. It's dying. It's dying. That's a terrible feeling. Why does that happen, preacher? Well, I think sometimes it's easy to blame others when really if we look at our situation, a lot of times it's our fault. If we're doing everything we know to do, we'll be close enough to hear His voice when He speaks to us. But if I don't do what He wants me to do, when He speaks to me, I'll be so far away from Him that I'll not hear what He has to say. God cannot move from His seat of holiness to our waywardness of sin to condone our wrong. We must move closer to where He's at. That's why the Scripture teaches, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You say, well, you just act like you ought to shout all the time. No, not all the time. About 99.9% of the time. I know we have problems. I know we have troubles. I know we have trials. But you know what? That's when we understand how mighty that God is. He's on the throne. I sat last night for about an hour and read the candy out of a book. A gentleman handed me a book out in Wichita. So help me, it may be that tall. It's about as thick as it is tall. It was a hymnal written in 1868. No music to anything. Very few of the songs have I ever even heard of. And I just went through reading. One right after, the more we read, the more blessed we got. And we kept reading and reading and reading and reading. And every song just seemed to be filled with words brought down from God above into the hearts of people. And we were talking. You listen to so much music today that really does very little praise to God and thanks to God and acknowledging God. And really a lot of music today is sound bites. They drive down the road and see a sign on a church marquee saying on the marquee, and if they use it 10 times in the song, they hope that it catches on, kind of like Achy Breaky Heart did for country. Thank you very much.
What are you laughing at this morning? You know what I'm saying. But it's through the time of storms where God speaks to people, gives them words that they don't even know that comes from God. And she said, why do you think that we don't see more of that? I said, the reason that even as preachers that we don't preach like preachers used to preach, because the cares of this world bog people down and we are not as close to God as what they were. That's hard to say, but I think most of you, if you'd really be real honest with yourself and you look back to the generation of your grandparents or great-grandparents, how they prayed, how they worshiped, how they went to church, what they did, and then you look at what we do today, they really put us to shame. No wonder God sent revival in their lives. They paid such a price. They needed God for everything. The food on their table, the clothes on their back, the heat in their home. Everything came from God. And now we've become self-sufficient. Sometimes a little too independent. But we still need God. We can make a choice this morning. We can stay where we're at until we die spiritually. Or we can move forward with the plan of God. And the more you move forward, the closer you get to God. And the warmer your heart gets. There is never an excuse for our heart to become cold. Their problem was they were trying to take their knowledge and throw it on the problem. But that wasn't going to solve it because David's problem was a heart problem. And by the way, sinner friend, you can take everything you want and throw it on the problem that you're facing. And your problem is a heart problem. Spiritually, you have a heart that God has placed inside of you that is the